Welcome everybody. Today from our remote studio outside of Paris, I have the great pleasure to be here today with Steven Kuipers, CEO and President of Orphid Industries, at a physical distance, but at least in person. So that's almost like a special meeting this year after everything we have seen over the last couple of months. And we are launching our new initiative, being a business role model, maybe because or as a result of the crisis, many people have changed their approaches to business, to interaction, to dealing with their staff, their clients, the whole environment. And we believe that we are all personally responsible for becoming more ethical than the society we grew up in. Unfortunately, as many of us know, good news is not necessarily promoted in the media nowadays. So we hope that we can give great examples with our interview partners we will have here over the next couple of series and learn from these examples. So, Steven, I'd like to know from you, what have you experienced this year? What are the great examples from your organization, from yourself, from your staff? Tell us a little bit. What are your, what were your challenges, but also the great opportunities and maybe the special moments that developed out of that?
Thank you for having me. We had three major challenges, I can say. The very first one was to keep our team and its spirit together. Because when team members within your company are unable to interact socially when they want to, that might become a problem. So that was a big challenge. The second big challenge was obviously the market, although it did not come to a standstill, it substantially slowed down. And the third big one was that we are a company that operates internationally. We have, at the start of this year, started a new company in China, and we were unable to open up the company. We were unable to go for obvious reasons, and that is an ongoing challenge. So those were the three real big ones. The one with our staff, our team, we were able to handle relatively quickly because we knew that the epidemic was coming from Asia, and we had somehow already prepared. So we put together a whole series of rules to go by, which all the governments are doing now. But we did it really in the early phase, and that helped us to prevent the virus from spreading within our company. Now, you can issue rules, but you also have to ascertain that people abide by these rules. So what we did was, on a daily basis, we gave information on the enterprise network to all of our team members about how we were doing, that there was nobody ill, no infections, how the business was going, just to keep the spirit up. And that really helped a lot. We got a lot of excellent feedback from there, and that motivated people to continue their job. Not only that, but even to try and do better than what they would do on a daily basis without this crisis.
So how in particular did you keep up the spirit?
Well, we did that by we made a point of sending out an email every day at the end of the day to describe the situation from a business standpoint of view, but also from an organizational point of view, because we have a production team that is running 24 hours. So that was a real big challenge to assure that we could have sufficient people come in. And And for the sales staff, obviously, they wanted to know whether we will be able to deliver goods to the customers, because if not, that would cost a sales turnover. So we assured that, and we explained what we did in assuring that we had sufficient inventory so that we could supply our customers. And we also made our team aware that we communicated often, not on a daily basis, but on a weekly or bi-weekly basis with our customers to explain them how the situation was in our factory, what we do to sustain the delivery of goods. We came up with commercial proposals like providing a discounted pricing on a product for a certain time. And that's how we got the, I would say, the spirit going, both among our own staff and among our customers.
So lots of communication, right? Is that the key?
Absolutely. Communication is absolutely the key. And communication in a sense that, for me, good communication, or communication in general, is something you use to achieve something, right? And so you better make sure that what you want to communicate and you're looking for a certain result to get out of that, that you do get that result. So that being said, communication has to be well prepared.
And targeted and
yes,
purposeful.
Yes, and it has to be in correct language. We're now using English, obviously, all over the world, and you have to be very careful that that is, you know, it's good communication, that people understand it everywhere. And a good frequency. Yeah, not too much, not too little. So that's a balancing.
So you put a lot of effort in strategic communication with respect to your internal, your staff, but also the external suppliers or customers, sales staff.
Absolutely, because if you, under normal conditions, you see people every day, and we see our customers, which are all over the world, on a probably 2 or 3 monthly basis. A couple of our sales export managers and myself, we travel around the world the whole time. So we actually see our customers. And that is the reason why you want to go and see those customers, is communicate. You want to communicate something. And when you see a person in person, the communication is relatively easy. Provided you've well prepared it. When you don't see a person in person, you might as well, you better be very well prepared, because there is little or no interaction possible unless you use methods like Teams or Zoom. But you have to communicate in a different way. Take the example of a Teams meeting. What we always do is, before we start a meeting, we agree on some rules, like use the technology properly and keep your questions until the end, and so on and so forth. But what I also experienced during this special period is that using Teams is a very effective way of communicating. You see some of the body language, which is always important in a conversation. And you see, even I think I should, you, when you use Zoom, when you use Teams, you actually see some of the body language. But it's interesting that what you see is people don't know you are observing them. They don't know that they are in a screen within your screen, and you can very well see how people think just by looking at them. So that's an interesting way. But nevertheless, in whatever communication you use, you have to prepare it well.
So have a strategy, then do your homework, and then interact with purpose, so to say.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, a strategy is always needs to be there before in business if you want to do something. And you can only implement your strategy successfully if you take into account all the elements that have an impact on it. And today, even more so, you have to really prepare very well to roll out your strategy, because it's the situation will never be the same, even when the pandemic is, you know, supposedly diminishing or maybe be gone at some point of time. People will continue to learn from the time of the pandemic, and they will continue to use certain methods of communication. So, when getting back to strategy, yes, very much prepare it very well, and use new methods of communication. Use technology, very important. Companies that do not use new technologies will really be in big trouble, not only because of the pandemic and because of the economical situation as a result of that, but even after the pandemic, it is my belief that they will not be recognized as a professional company that knows how to deal with a particular situation. So, and that's the what I'd like to call flexibility and agility that a company needs and the leadership within the company needs to make those decisions, to make a decision on investing probably 5 times more in digital marketing than before. So that is a key element if you want to survive after this period.
And besides the technology side, to what extent has your strategy to communicate, to integrate all the different parts of the organization, to what extent has that changed because of the pandemic? Have you always had such a detailed and well-worked approach, as you just described, with all the different people you're dealing with internally and externally? Are there any specifics where you said, well, this really gave us a chance to reinvent our approach? Or what will you keep? I mean, is that something that will now be continuously revised? You said, well, some of the technology, if companies don't employ it, they might be left behind. But from your point of view, was that a kind of a new initiative, or was it always like that? And then going forward into 2021, what will you keep, and what will you maybe? Well, maybe some issues you just also wait for them to end, like, the lack of personal interaction, for example. But what's your take on that?
Well, the biggest change that we made is in our marketing and product communication, because, again, you're unable to see people. And we have a product, by the way, that needs a lot of educational support in the market. So how do you go about in educating people with your product if they're not in front of you? So we immediately invested in, again, technology to allow us to do webinars in the beginning semi-professional and after that more professional way. So that's something that definitely is going to stay. Secondly, we invested more in coming out with blogs that usually our blogs were relatively general, because when you publish a blog and someone reads it and they get interested in your product or your service, they might want to deal with you, and then you get a chance to go there and explain what you have or what you offer. Today, that's not the case. So we changed our blogs into providing much more detailed information so that customers can, by reading them, understand much better what you have. And so that was something that we also changed. And the other thing is that we had to learn some of our commercial staff to pick up these new habits, because it's a very unusual situation for everybody. But as a salesperson wants to go out and sell and see people, and that was not happening. So we had to provide them with means that they could still generate sales, So we did, again, these webinars. We did digital in-services. We really expanded the different marketing communication tools. We just increased the number, and that was really necessary to keep that that contact with the market going.
Mm-hmm. So close connection through digital tools, and that will stay to a certain extent, as you said. But then looking more what you mentioned earlier, the client side and your new ventures and adventures in China, for example, are there certain issues that for the next step for your strategy in 2021 will change? I wouldn't say back to before, but will they change in a different way? Because, I mean, we also make the experience in our work that some tools, and especially the digital side, made many projects or many approaches much easier, much more efficient, time-wise, but also budget-wise. But other things, the personal contact might be essential for especially working in different cultures and different countries, including all these different interests, the languages, the professional cultures. What's ahead for you?
Well, we will definitely will be traveling far less. That's absolutely going to be the case, because we have learned how to interact with our market without being there physically. And secondly, the budget. I mean, the travel budget is it's almost gone. So, and that what we did actually, we used quite a bit of our travel budget to invest in technology and marketing communication, and that's one of the, you know, that's what I call some flexibility or agility within what you do. So definitely less traveling, more planned and targeted communication, driven from corporate level. What I mean by that is, today, sales people or sales export managers, they decide on their agenda because they know where there's a prospect or there's a, you know, a hot deal coming up and so on and so forth. And that's going to be far less obvious. So, and you don't want your sales team to be left in the dark. And so you will have to the extent that they are maybe not used to doing it themselves, you have to lead them, and you have to make sure they get towards deals. You have to create opportunities. And that you can absolutely do with increasing your digital communication. And the good thing is, even certainly in the medical device world and in the hospital scene, the customers, actually the medical professionals, have become so much used to your digital communication that they think it's okay. I mean, they don't want to see a salesperson anymore. They feel comfortable with talking with the company over a digital way, and that will have an impact as well.
So traveling will maybe, well, definitely less, and only for important things like your upcoming opening in China. Mm. And then we'll probably see a mix of different ways of targeted communication, depending on the needs of the audience. Do you have any final takeaways for upcoming leaders who are listening to this and would like to apply the strategy or learn what to do in their context to move into the future?
Well, what I believe is very important is that you remain, you keep a good eye on the competences of your team. Because in this new digital communication world that we are entering to, your team will need other competences than before. So you have to detect where there is a gap and provide education to your team so that they are able to continue to work on their own without you as a manager have to be there all the time to tell them what to do and to support them like what we did now in the pandemic period, because you want to continue to grow, and so you want to keep your attention also on all the other things in within your company. So competence, one thing. We've seen that some of our staff don't have enough flexibility. So if that is the case, you should work on that. And always stress that they have to do everything possible to stay healthy.
That's a fantastic ending. Thank you so much, Stephen. So health first. I think that's one of the big learnings we had this year, that basically after many years of squeezing healthcare systems and working on efficiencies, performance, and other management elements in healthcare, which definitely is important, but now suddenly healthcare rules and drives political decisions, economic decisions. So this is exciting to see how that will evolve in 2021. And thank you so much for your lessons for the next generation of leaders, for your insights also in your own strategy. We can always, or we should learn from these examples, and especially communication is a topic, I think, in healthcare that is highly underestimated. So thank you so much. And well, I wish you all the best for 2021, and we'll see how everything evolves and what we will stay and what we will keep and what we will maybe change again and adjust to the circumstances that evolve. So thank you so much, and have a beautiful day.